Welcome to Pleb Chain Radio, a live show brought to you by Plebs for Plebs, which focuses on the intersection of Nostr and Bitcoin protocols. Join QW and Avi as they run down the weekly news and developments, breaking down the current thing and the future frontier with the foundation of decentralization, the builders, thinkers, doers, and plebs. All right, we are live.
Welcome, gentle plebs, to episode number 79 of Pleb Chain Radio. Today is Friday, the 20th of September, and it is 1:58 p.m. on the East Coast of the United States at the time of recording. We have a great show ahead of you today. Andre Loha from Free Madeira and Bitcoin Atlantis joins us to talk about all the great work that's happening in Madeira, what to look forward to for Bitcoin Atlantis 2028, unfortunately, not 2025, as many of us would have hoped, and potentially even talk about my dinner with Andre. If you don't know what that is, you'll want to stick around and find out. Just a reminder that if you are listening to this show on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, first of all, thank you for listening, but I would urge you to hit pause and switch over to the Fountain podcasting app, where you can earn some sats while you listen and support the value for value revolution. Our show is recorded live on Nostrness and streamed live to zap.stream. You should join in on Nostrness if you can, because the live chat, we do have one, can get pretty lively and also on occasion distracting. And QW, for our meme readout today, I am doing an homage to, it's almost cheating really to do a corn meme, because corn's memes would win out just about on any week, but I'm going to make an exception and read a Condalorian meme for our meme reader.
That's my arch nemesis though.
That's right, yes.
I mean, it's you might start a new war going on here.
Well, certainly on. Not reading one of yours, QW, that would be a conflict of interest.
A little collusion.
Yes, indeed. So it's a single frame meme. It's the they don't know meme. It's where you have a character standing, stick figure type character standing in a corner looking at people dancing and having fun. It's clearly at a party, and this gentleman is isolated in a corner. And typically goes with, they don't know, dot, dot, dot. And this one, it has our isolated hero standing in the corner wearing a t-shirt with the X logo and a party hat with a blue check on top of it. And he says, they don't know, I wrote a 43-tweet thread about why Nostr doesn't work. And you have one couple dancing in the corner where the guy is saying, our Tunster concert was so good. And the girl says, I know. Can you believe we got zapped a few million sats? And then the other dancing couple. The guy says, I wrote a new article on Habla.news. And the girl says, I read it on Nostr and Amethyst. It was great. I zapped you a few sats. And that is a meme readout. And KW, I do have one shout out before we get to our sermon. And this is from friend of the show, John Gordon. And he's organizing a Satoshi Trail run for Hal Finney on October the 26th in Hutto, Texas. It's right outside Austin. This is happening in partnership with the Running Bitcoin Challenge and is going to be raising funds for the ALS Network's Hal Finney ALS MND Fund to honor Hal Finney's legacy and celebrate 16 years since Satoshi released the Bitcoin white paper. So folks in the Austin, Texas area, if you're there around October 26th and you like running, please do sign up for the Satoshi Trail Run. And for our sermon now, QW, brick by brick. Take it away.
Yes, brick by brick. And shout out to John Gordon for putting that together. I don't know if he did or if it's a collection of plebs, but
That's what it's all about, right? Just planning something, getting the community together, and do it for a purpose or a cause. But that goes in line kind of with brick by brick. Building a local citadel starts from within. When you're building something, you know, whether it's Bitcoin Park or maybe Noster Valley, the event coming up, you know, it always starts with your one person, maybe another person, kind of that chain reaction. So, you know, starting something will start the momentum. It really comes down to you just making that choice. You know what? Let's do something. Let's go big. I can't sit here anymore. I'm just scrolling. It's time to put my my actions where my words or my thoughts are. And the Noster community is no different. You know, this last Wednesday, we did a just Noster PHX social gathering. It's not much, but it's honest work. Terry, you came into town. So we said, hey, let's all get together and hang out with Terry. It was only maybe five of us that could make it. No big deal, but it's just something. You know, you got to start creating that culture that you want to see. You know, and that can be seen even in our culture on Noster. You know, Avi, we've talked about the reciprocation ratio or the reply ratio, your notes to reply. Why is that powerful? It's because the engagement. I think Lynn Alden had a post, a note today, just comparing her engagement from Twitter to Noster. And it was, she has, let's say, I don't know, I have no idea, let's say 200,000 followers on X and, you know, 70,000 on Noster, but it's, you know, 2-3 times more engagement. Engagement's what it's about. It's kind of thrive. It shows you how powerful the community is, how active they are. It's, you know, I feel like, and I kind of was reflecting, Avi, that like we go in Telegram groups, we go in text message threads with friends, and all we end up doing is like screenshotting someone's idea or something and sharing it, or some meme and sharing it. No one actually engages within the app anymore, because I don't think that's where the community is. That's not where people are actually feeling good about it. Do you feel like that?
Well, what I will say about engagement on Noster, it means a completely different thing from engagement on Twitter. Because of the algorithmically driven nature of Twitter, a lot of the so-called engagement is people trying to dunk on each other, right? And trying to get those likes up, or those retweets up, those ratios. Whereas on Noster, it's a lot more authentic. It seems a lot more sincere. People are actually looking to have these conversations, real conversations with each other. So it feels, and this is why I stay, right? That's where so many of us stay. It's feel like we're having a real connection with people through this engagement on Noster.
Yeah. And I mean, going back to the brick by brick, I mean, we're building our community brick by brick, and starting with a culture of engagement, starting with a culture of welcoming. You know, it might not be built tomorrow, but we're building it the right way, in my opinion. And that's going to what ultimately attracts people. You know, it's really decentralized community, and the efforts within will shape the culture as a whole. And that will translate to real life, just like Noster PHX, just like Nosterville coming up, just like any of Noster event that we've had kind of commingled with Bitcoin events or on its own in the Noster World Conference or whatever it may be. So I think, you know, ultimately, if our culture becomes sticky enough, when I say sticky, when I think about the Bitcoin meetups, you know, it ebbs and flows with bear market, bull market. It's almost like, you know, obviously the number one green light is NGU and people start getting interested. But the ideas are what should be, you know, should lay the merit. It should be the ground game. It should be the reason people stay. You know, if we have education, if we have excitement, if we have technological advancements, that all empowers a community, and education, I think, is the first thing. But, you know, having a sticky culture, something where people don't want to leave even when it's a bear market, you know, I think something that our culture can lend hand to. And I think that's what really the brick by brick's about. You know, every action becomes a brick in a citadel with the right time preference and determination. So, you know, PubKey is a great example. There's like two or three dudes, right? Avi, tell me the story about that.
Yeah, it was Thomas, Drew, and I think there's one other, but neither Thomas nor Drew had any kind of, they were just Bitcoiners. They had no background in hospitality. And at the back end of the pandemic, right, where New York City, Manhattan was locked down really hard, towards the end of that, when things were looking fairly grim, they decided to go forward with this crazy idea, which is open a pub, right as lockdowns were unclear, lockdowns are fully ending at that point. But they did it. And slowly but surely, they built up a community of hardcore. When things opened up, they've built a brand. And now, after yesterday, where we saw the first presidential Bitcoin transaction, or it might have been the day
crypto
before,
burgers.
It's clearly crypto. It is bearing fruit. So that was another brick by brick community building effort.
Yeah, and then the Nashville Bitcoin Park, when we had Rod on, I mean, or maybe it was in Odell's episode too, where they almost lost it because they built it all right before the bear market. You know, that's and they were trying to denominate everything in Bitcoin. So they had to do some changes with that. And just kind of like the pub key right before COVID, there's always going to be something. But I think ultimately where it all starts is that engagement, that reply, that network. I mean, we're whether it's Noster or Bitcoin, we're all built on the human network. Right. And when you can have these conversations, find your kin, find your friends, find your local community, whatever it may be, you start to generate these ideas where you can change things. And that it's just brick by brick.
Yep. Well said, QW. And with that, I think it's time to bring on our guest, Andre Loha. Welcome to PlebChain Radio, sir.
Andre the Bricklayer.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me. It's a pleasure, man.
So, Andre, we got to start with a burning question. So, Bitcoin Atlantis 2028, which is going to be the next iteration, can it be actually inside the soccer stadium this time and maybe have Cristiano Ronaldo as the guest of honor?
Well, if he's orange pilled by then, he's still shitcoining, as you may see, have seen. You know, it was, unfortunately, it was a shame that it was sponsored by Binance and had this NFTs going and all that bullshit.
Crepes.
Yeah, it's all about the money. Well, I have some ideas already, actually, for Bitcoin Atlantis 28. I won't tell them because they're too crazy for now. But the whole idea of doing it in 28 was actually to keep it special. And I really want to do it. So I mean, keep it really special. So we have some surprises. We have time to figure it out.
Sandra, we'll circle back to talking about this year's Bitcoin Atlantis and maybe get some sneak peek from you on the next one in a little bit. But let's start here with how did you get into this business in the first place? How did you find yourself as a Bitcoiner who suddenly had this dream of building a conference?
Well, that's kind of a long story. But you guys were talking about brick by brick, and it was exactly the same thing. It's just a series of events that led to this big conference in Madeira that was way above my dreams initially. Well, I can go a bit to the beginning. I was a Bitcoiner.
This is a 4-hour podcast, by
after
the way.
I hope not. But I have 4 kids in my house. They need the hours of their parents as well. But, I felt I was the only Bitcoiner in Madeira a few years back. And I went through all my shitcoiner phase, before the pandemic. I think I was only fully orange pilled after the pandemic, unfortunately. So only in middle of 2020, maybe. You guys know what it is when once you fully, well, you never fully understand it, but when you finally have your mind clear, it's like a virus and you can't stop thinking about it. I was already an entrepreneur in Madeira. I own several businesses. And I started, you know, in a way trying to figure out how could I contribute. And me not being a developer, I had to find something else to contribute. And I was feeling frustrated that there were no books in the Portuguese bookstores about Bitcoin whatsoever. And once I was in Lisbon, actually in a big bookstore, and again trying to find some books on the subject, and that I didn't again. And when I was getting out, I saw those you know, they have those top 10 of sales at the exit or at the entrance. And on number whatever 6, it was a crypto book by a Portuguese guy, full of shit coins in the cover. And it made, you know, my first reaction was, oh, Jesus Christ, these people have, they don't have any Bitcoin books and they have this shitcoin book here on the top sales. But then I thought, well, if there's demand for crypto, and I'm doing quotes in the air, right? Maybe I can do something about it. So I was, of course, reading books, the original books in English of several people at the time. And I thought, this can be what I do. I can try and get the rights to some of these books that I love to Portuguese and try to put it all on the bookstores all over Portugal. So, but I was a no one, right, in the middle of nowhere. So I didn't know how to approach it. And one day I thought, I'll take my chances. And I sent a Twitter DM to Jeff Booth, asking if I could translate his The Price of Tomorrow to Portuguese. And bear in mind, I had no expertise whatsoever in the publishing business. But so I did. And Jeff replied, amazingly. We had our first call. I was really nervous at the time. And he believed me. He gave me the rights. And the rest is history. I started Monstera Books. I started getting rights to other books because after having the heavyweight as Jeff Booth is, it was easier to get other authors to issue me the rights to Portuguese. And then we started doing them. And this was my foot in the door in the Bitcoin community, I guess. And where I started those relationships with a bunch of people. And, you know, and then, well, we can talk about the following steps, I guess, but that was the beginning of it all.
Well, the following steps are you translate the book 24 to Portuguese.
Yeah, well, we can. I actually spoke to Avi about it.
I have no idea. I just threw it out there.
You have 24 copies of 24 sitting in Madeira.
Right. Yes. Now. Yes, I do. And we're going to start the online store and physical store soon. That will, I think, we'll speak about that later.
Yeah. So, Andre, were you always living in Madeira, or did you live somewhere else in Portugal before that?
No, I'm a Madeiran. My families are from here. I was born in Lisbon, but that was just an accident because my parents were studying there at the time. A lot of people from Madeira go to the mainland for university. So I came back as a baby. I lived here all my life, except for the time that I was in Lisbon myself at university. But then after a few years, I returned and then started my work career here.
Nice. And Free Madeira is part of that career at this point, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely. Actually, I would say, probably the project in my life, and I have a bunch that takes the most time out of me right now.
So for folks who don't know, Andre, can you explain what Free Madeira is? And also, it's an acronym for something, right? It's not the word free. It actually stands for something in Portuguese, doesn't it?
Yes. Free stands for Fórum Regional de Educação Económica. I said it in Portuguese, but the English translation is very similar. So forum, regional forum for economic education, basically. And so this is, you know, after everything that happened, and we should go back to it eventually, when the president of the regional government went to Miami 22, and he did that small announcement with Samson on stage. In Miami still, we decided, because I really wanted, it was already in my mind, and I proposed to the president to do this association, you know, to increase the education and adoption of Bitcoin in Madeira. So this is the high goal, of course. We have a lot of plans, but the focus remains the same. It's still all about Bitcoin, and of course Bitcoin touches everything, so it's about a lot of stuff. but that's the goal: education, adoption, energy, you know, acceptance, business, you know, all surrounding Bitcoin in Madeira. And not only actually Madeira, because we're starting to be a voice in the mainland as well, as some kind of, I would say, the local or the national, I wouldn't say the national yet, but at least the Bitcoin policy association in Portugal, I would say.
So it sounds like we skipped one step here, Andre, that which is Free Madeira exists today because the president somehow got orange pilled and went to Miami to give the Bitcoin Miami to give their presentation with Samson Mao, which you just mentioned. So how did the president get orange pilled?
So orange pilled is a bit too far, but I'll explain. So and that's why the Monsera books and the network of people that I started having a relationship with was so important. So I started Monsera books. I had my other businesses, and one of my other businesses is a co-working space in downtown Funchal, which is the main city of Madeira. And I knew the president. I know him for a long time, way before he was a president. And on a social event, I had the opportunity to speak with him, not about Bitcoin at the time, about the co-work and the nomad community and the expat community that was starting to flock to Madeira after the pandemic. And he decided to schedule a visit, an official governmental visit to Cowork, just to check the place out, see the community, see the foreigners that were using the space and so on. And so he did. And after the visit to the space, we were just chatting informally at the reception. And he was mentioning how Madeira needs to attract more investment, that we couldn't be so dependent on tourism alone, that he really wanted to push the technology part of it, attracting technology businesses and so on. And I basically seized the opportunity. I had a Bitcoin sign at the reception, you know, Bitcoin accepted here. And I pointed at the sign and I said, well, maybe I can help. Maybe I can bring some, you know, some new technology, as I put it at the time, businesses to Madeira, and I can bring people here. But you must be willing to, you know, to accept Bitcoin as the proposition out. And he looked at the sign and immediately started blabbing about crypto. Oh, yes. Now we see a lot of nomads that use crypto. You know, crypto is the future and this and that. And that was... and that was already, I decided immediately I needed to do something, because I thought this is going in a really bad direction, you know. And I was already a bit scared about the movement that I saw in Portugal with all the crypto bullshit, because I don't know if you're aware, probably you are, but Portugal for a long time didn't have any tax on crypto. Or put it another way, they didn't have any laws on crypto. That's why they didn't have any taxes. So for a long time, it was seen as a crypto haven, you know, So we saw Lisbon, the capital, being inundated by crypto projects, shitcoin projects. Oh, you name it. It was awful. It still happens a lot. But well, resuming, I said I could help, but I was way over my head at the time. So I basically panic called Daniel Prince at the time and said, Daniel, I need to speak with you immediately. I went over my skis. I need your help. I need to plan something to present to the president now. And Daniel, being a Bitcoiner and being the guy, the amazing guy he is, immediately jumped on board, said, fucking amazing, let's plan something. The first idea was to bring, we contacted Samson, and the first idea was to bring Samson to Madeira and have a conversation with the president. But then agendas didn't fit, so Samson was not able to come. I was almost, giving up on the thing, at least for a bit, when I had this crazy idea. You know, Bitcoin Miami was approaching, and I called Daniel and I said, look, I have this crazy idea. What if we convince the president to go to Miami? He likes that kind of stuff, you know. He can see it, you know, as a way to attract businesses and money to the island and people and so on. So let's try it. And so we did. We reached out to the organizers. They loved the idea, so they issued a formal invite to the president. And, it was not at first. The second, third meeting with the president, we finally convinced them. And we were able to bring the president and a couple more to Miami. And we organized a bunch of other stuff around his trip with the help of Jeff and Daniel and Samson and many other people. We even had a breakfast at Michael Saylor's villa at the time. And it was the rest is history. But it was very, very important to kickstart Free Madeira, that's for sure.
Do you ever get like imposter syndrome, or like kind of like when you're sitting at a table with the president and let's say at Michael Saylor's villa, you're like, well, how did I get here? Type of mentality.
Man, I now in hindsight, I don't even, it was a bit of a blur to me because 2 months before I was nobody in Madeira, just minding my own business.
And you had to break out an old suit.
Man, suddenly I was in Michael's villa with the president. It was crazy. It was really crazy for me.
But Andre, it's actually a really inspiring story, right? And there are two paths to it. One is how you got started, even, which is you took a bet and you YOLO'd and sent a message to Jeff Booth, right, about translating his book, and then that was your in, right? And then the second was you wrote a check you couldn't possibly cash to the president of Madeira, and then your friends helped you out, and then I guess what I'm trying to say is, if anyone listening is afraid of YOLOing, just do it. What do you have to lose? And you have everything to gain.
I couldn't agree more. Actually, I think my whole entrepreneurial life was about this. It's basically seizing the opportunity and going for it. And you'll make mistakes. Of course you'll make mistakes. You will learn a lot with those mistakes and you keep going. And, the worst, I apply this to my life all the time. What's the worst thing that can happen? You get a no back and, everything remains the same. I could have sent a message to Jeff and he decided not to reply or just say no. My life wouldn't have changed. It would have been the same.
My life would have changed, Andre, if he had said no, because I wouldn't have visited Madeira for Bitcoin Atlantis.
Yeah. And that's, that. Avi, now in hindsight, that's what still amazes me more. It's this little thing in the past, like a change in direction. It reminds me of that meme where you have all those possibilities in your life. But this a small thing can change a lot. Oh, it's amazing. And everything that happened after that, again, I would even go back to that. This time I decided to send the DM to Jeff. That little moment in my life changed everything, everything. And by consequence, it changed a lot to a lot of people. For example, there's tens of people, like a lot of people moving to Madeira to live. So in a way, I changed the life of a lot of people because of a small decision in the in my past. You know, it's crazy to see.
Yeah, and you know, you can take that further, right? Extrapolate that further. What if some of those people are single? They meet the love of their lives as a result of moving to Madeira. Absolutely. And then they have kids. Those kids, the reason those kids exist is because you sent a DM to Amazing.
He's the godfather, obviously.
Yeah, but it's a good guideline for your life. If you want to do something, absolutely go for it. Because inaction is the worst enemy of life, I guess, overall.
Yeah, for sure, Andre. So let's talk about, let's get back to the point where the president spoke. Well, actually, I have one question before we get into that. How much, because I know Madeira is not an independent country, obviously, it's part of Portugal, right? So how much autonomy does the president of Madeira have over the decision-making? Like, for example, can he get rid of taxes on capital gains taxes on Bitcoin transactions? What is his level of autonomy?
So, not much. Let me go back for a moment. So we were in Miami. It was all a blur to me. First time in this big conference with the government, with Michael Saylor, Jeff, meeting a lot of my heroes on Bitcoin Twitter. You know, I was, it was crazy. And his appearance on stage was not planned at all. It was Samson inviting him at the moment, and I have to say that I even didn't agree at the time because I thought it was too soon. What is this guy doing? Like, we just came here to talk and listen to other Bitcoiners, see what we could do, and this guy is already going on stage saying but that is adopting Bitcoin. And when I saw what he was going to say, I actually disagreed. So because he said, you know, Madeira is adopting Bitcoin and so on, and I was right, by the way. It was going to be misunderstood, because using the word adopting, everybody thought he was issuing Bitcoin as legal tender in Madeira, which he couldn't do. It was impossible. But he said, it doesn't matter, I'll do it anyway, and so on, you know. And I tried to change Madeira being Bitcoin friendly and so on, and not using the word adopting, but he did it anyway. In hindsight, it caught attention and everything worked out the same, and it was good, and Free Madeira exists because of that. So I guess it wasn't that problematic, but I still feel that it was sort of unreasonable to use that word at the time. And why? Because Madeira is an outermost region of Europe. It's a autonomous region of Portugal, but it's not independent, as you were saying. So they don't have full powers, especially on a big subject like tax and so forth. We have tax advantages regarding the mainland Portugal, like tax is lower here, and there's a few other advantages, but he can't simply say he'll eliminate cap tax gains, for example. So short story, no, he doesn't have the powers to do it.
Great. Well, that is, but it's still quite the story, though, Andre. So what was building Free Madeira then? Let's jump back to that part. So Free Madeira started. How did he initially start building out the initiative?
So Well, I surrounded myself with great people again. I created the goals of Primavera, the education goals, the business goals. You know, we created our own internal white paper of what we wanted to do here. I was a lot focused on energy. I still am, although it's probably the hardest part of the Primavera project, and I'll speak about it a bit later. And I surrounded myself with a lot of good people on the advisory board. So not only Jeff, but we had Daniel Prince, we had Knut, we had Greg Foss, Larry Leopard, Obi, Troy Cross, Samson, Gigi, you know, a lot of people. And we started devising ideas and plans to what we wanted to do. It was just a soft start. We were just planning stuff out when I had, again, a crazy idea. And I said, I think we should, you know, one of our advisory board meetings or whatever you want to call them. It's not advisory board, but just a meeting that we had to talk about Primavera. I asked the guys, what did they think about doing a conference in Madeira? I think it would be helpful for the notoriety, for the beginning, to, you know, for local people to start checking out what it was, you know, for basically bring some Bitcoiners around. My initial idea was to make it a lot smaller. It was just basically to bring the advisory board here that was already like 8 or 9 very interesting people. We could do something small, start the conversation going. But then the advisory board got excited as well, and they thought it was a great idea, and they started inviting people of their own. That's why we got this. So we started having some high level speakers confirming, like Jack Dorsey, for example. And then Michael Saylor, and then at one point I just said, fuck it. If we're doing that, I don't like to do something, you know, if I'm doing things, I like to do it well. So I said, fuck it, let's do something big. Let's go for it. Let's go for it. If I'm doing this, let's go like deep. And so I did. And we ended up having 200 speakers from all over the world and a stadium. And you know, Avi, you were here. It was amazing. It was really, really amazing.
And what's the community response been like since kind of, you know, the ball started rolling to now?
Well, there was not a lot of Bitcoiners in Madeira by then. So there were a few locals.
And they had
a few
crypto magazines on the top, not Bitcoin.
Probably. But you know what? It's something very funny as well. You know, I mentioned that I thought I was the only Bitcoiner in Madeira. And that's another reason why people really need to step out and talk about it. Because once I started Primavera, before the conference, I started Primavera and we started the meetups. That was one of the first things that we started doing, a monthly meetup. I realized that there were a lot more Bitcoiners in Madeira than I thought there were. They were around. I just didn't know them. Once I started, you know, talking about the conference and the idea, everybody got really, really excited. Even the Portuguese community, and then, you know, then it just grew like a snowball. It was, and then the community started flocking to Madeira even before the conference. A lot of people started doing some podcasts, and of course the word got out there, and people started visiting Madeira even before the conference. And some people even moved to Madeira before the conference, and now it's getting worse now. Well, worse in a good way.
Yeah. I think it's like 250,000 population around there, huh?
Yes, around 260 to 70, I would say, and Funchal is like half of that.
Yeah, and then when I say like community response, local shops, you know, actual acceptance of Bitcoin, is that starting to get a little bit more popular?
We are number one on BTC Map.
Yeah.
Charlie, that works for me, works for Primavera. He's a Venezuelan guy. He actually has a great story of its own. He basically escaped Venezuela with Bitcoin in his head. So,
and this is the way.
Yeah, and he came to Madara with his family, and he's a very, very focused guy. I love the guy. And he loves it, and he was so thrilled when I invited him to help me out with Free Madara. And I have to say, is one of the big reasons that we have so many merchants now all over Madara accepting Bitcoin. And we have a backlog of people that are waiting for Charlie's visit. And this started before the conference, and of course after all the splash that the conference made in Madara, it kind of went away of its own, and now people approach us instead of we have to follow them. They approach us to get Bitcoin going on their businesses.
Yeah, you had your 100th merchant recently onboarded into accepting Bitcoin, right?
Yes, we are in 107 now, and yeah. Still going.
And how's that?
I need two more Charlies, Yeah.
So he Charlie's the one that basically goes through the onboarding process, gets him set up. Tell me about that process.
Well, he gets the contacts, or he knows about people. A lot of now the community also tips a lot because we have a Telegram group. We have people just say, I went this place. This guy is ready. Go, Charlie. And then he goes and, explains everything to the guys, sets up the wallets, set up the employee wallets, explains them how, gives them like a one-on-one workshop, basically. And we do take a lot of time with each merchant to make sure that they really know how it works, to make custody safe, he sets up hot wallets and cold wallets for the merchants. He gives them the whole rundown. And actually, we started getting really good at it. He sends them an email afterward, very well taken care of, with all the explanation, all the fees, what he has to do, And he's always there to support. If they have a problem, he goes there and solves it. So it's basically full-on support to all these people. And it's working really well. And, before the conference, I was not focusing a lot on merchant acceptance. Because I also didn't want to see merchants with Bitcoin payments set up, but no payments, for a few months or never. So, but then when I saw the movement, the community growing, everything, I thought we were ready, and now we are really ready. Like people, there are so many Bitcoiners now around us that all the businesses basically see regular payments, which is amazing to see.
Yeah, and the ones that aren't accepting are probably getting a little annoyed because people keep asking if they accept, right?
Yeah, that's why. And then it's just a snowball because the community grows. Our Bitcoiners are everywhere they go. They talk about it, so it makes a dent. It makes a dent, and people, that's why we have a backlog of Bitcoin of businesses approaching us to do the same, basically.
Yes, and then you become kind of it has to draw more Bitcoiners to move to Madeira, and in return, probably does a little something to the real estate market. Have you seen any of that?
Oh, yeah, that's a problem. But not only, of course, Bitcoiners. It's all the fiat world that we know, right? Mm-hmm. Prices increased a lot, and in Madeira, it was really notorious, or we could see even more increase because it was not only the Bitcoiners. As I told you, after COVID, there was a general movement of a lot of people to escape the big cities and so on. And Madeira is a bit of a paradise, a very high quality of life place. And a lot of people moved here. It's let's say real estate is really scarce in Madeira right now, and the prices are not helping.
And then you have the of course, the sailor villas of people, yeah, too. Yeah. That's true. They're not even there. They're just, they got their villa.
That's true. There's a lot of that. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's great. I mean, not that portion, but it's great what you're doing. And it's amazing to see that chain reaction of one action leads to the other spread out. So I highly encourage anybody listening, even the small things add up.
Absolutely. And now it almost takes care of itself. The community wants more businesses. They talk to all other businesses. Charter goes there. More businesses attract more people. You know, we have people here living totally on a Bitcoin standard right now, because we have the diversity of businesses is also amazing. From the grocery store to the guy that sells vegetables and eggs to the house to, you know, you can buy a car, you can buy a house, you can do everything with Bitcoin only, basically.
And the kind of that that flow of Bitcoiners, I mean, it adds to the culture. And I like to think that plebs are family oriented. They're you know, they have hope in their heart. They want to give back. They're part of the community. All these things that you want to see in a thriving country.
Absolutely. You know, it's still a small community compared to the number of people, but it is growing fast, exponentially fast, and it does make a difference. And you know, all Bitcoiners are, they have kids, they you know, they're already having projects of their own, starting companies. There's a few education projects, homeschooling projects, trying to get their shit together and growing up, and it just goes. It's again like a snowball. It just goes, and it attracts further people. Further people attract more Bitcoin. It's ongoing.
Let's get down to brass tacks, though. What's the price of stake there? Has that gone up?
Well, everything's gone up, right? But it's still rather affordable compared to the at least of the capital cities, I would say, in Europe. You can have a very, I'll give you an average. You can have a rebuy, a very good rebuy for 15 euros at the restaurant.
Yeah, that's less than $20. It's very reasonable.
Very reasonable. And of course, you have your fancy dinners as well. You can have a very nice, you know, dinner out with the, with friends and family, with wine and so on, for, you know, 40, 50 euros. I'm in really nice restaurants, but you also have the pleb restaurants that are way cheaper, like 20, 25 euros, and you eat very well in Madeira, fortunately.
You know, the one thing about I noticed about Madeira, well, I actually heard this, thankfully I didn't experience it, is that airplanes landing in the airport can have a rough time just because of the shape of the airport. Thankfully, I didn't have to deal with that in my flight. But is that true, Andre, that it's a rough landing?
Well, it was worse before. Some decades ago, I think already like 20 years ago or something, they extended the runway. What happens is sometimes there's crosswinds and it gets a little bumpy. But there's, it's not like it's, I think people just, it's not as bad as people paint it to be. And the worst thing, I would say the major problem is not a safety one, is more like a inconvenience. Which is sometimes with the crosswinds and so on, the landway stops. So you cannot go away, you know, or for a few hours or even for a full day if that happens. So sometimes people, you know, you see flights coming to Madeira, they, you know, circle around, land, and then they have to go back and come the next day. So it's, but that's the, as an islander, you get used to this, you know, it's just what happens if you live in an island.
Yeah. And as I said, thankfully, I didn't have to deal with any of that. I had actually one of the smoothest landings I've had in the Madeira airport. So, Andre, you talked about when you first had the idea for Bitcoin Atlantis. And, you know, you wanted to start small, but it ended up becoming something huge, right? At what point did it strike you that, holy cow, we're actually going to be able to do this, going to be able to pull off this massive conference?
Well, it's all a blur, but now I don't remember exactly. But I think it was when I got the okay of the stadium, you know, because Madeira, you know, conference was big at one point. It started to get really big, but it was all up in the air, and there was a lot of question marks or still on the place or where we could do it, because there was no, there was not such a big venue for conferences in Madeira. It would be impossible. And so I remember the stadium and I went for it, and it wasn't easy, but 2 or 3 months later, when we did get the okay of the stadium, that's when I think that finally hit me that this, oh my God, this is really happening.
And interestingly enough, this wasn't the Cristiano Ronaldo stadium, right? So for folks who don't know, Cristiano Ronaldo is originally from Madeira, and he played his first soccer team was in Madeira before he went to Lisbon and then United in Madrid. But this was not his childhood team, right? Where the stadium was? Yeah.
No, the Nacional Stadium, which is his team, is up in the mountains. You could see it from Funchal up in the mountains, but it's like a 5-minute drive, a 10-minute drive. It's close by, but it's in the mountains, and it's way smaller. So it wouldn't be possible to do it there. The place we did it is from Marítimo, which is a much bigger team or has a lot more fans in Madeira. And they were in the Premier League at the time. Actually, now things turned around and Nacional is in the Premier League and Marítimo is on the second league, which is funny. Actually, we're 10 minutes away from the kickoff of a Nacional game, actually. So we had to do it at the Marítimo Stadium here in downtown Funchal.
And they didn't allow you to do it inside the stadium, right? We had to do it on the we were inside, but we weren't on the turf. It had to be outside.
I didn't. It was never intended to be inside the pitch, mm-hmm. And it was already a very, very big discussion because we had to put the main stage on the pitch, and they were worried about the grass because they had a game 3 days after or 2 days after the conference was finished. So that was already a big discussion. And one of the reasons why the main stage was so close to the stands, because we wanted to minimize the damage to the grass. But it was all, since the beginning, the idea was to do the main stage in the pitch facing the benches, where we wanted to be the main stage stands. And the rest of the conference would be where it was, on that circle around the stadium.
Yeah, and it worked out great. The other thing that worked out really great at BitCon Atlantis this year, Andre, was something I haven't seen at any other conference, the children's stage, right? There was a separate stage just for kids, and in my opinion, some of the best moments of the conference happened there, like with the kids getting up on stage and presenting and, you know, acting like little adults, talking about BitCon. It was just a remarkable experience to be around that. And then we had a lot of, you know, prominent BitCoiners come and interact with the kids, be on panels with the kids. Yeah, right. It was great. What was the, how did you hit upon that?
I got to stop you for a second. You sold that a little short. You sobbed like a baby during that stage. The beauty of it. You were
it was
dribbling on your lap.
It was, you know, when I started in the beginning, when I started figuring out the conference in my head, and you know, I was a bit worried. We were in an island in the middle of the Atlantic. You know, we were lucky enough to have this great advisory board that got us the big names and so forth. But I was a bit worried, you know, it's not easy to get to Madeira, or not as easy as it is to get, you know, to the middle of Europe or the US or something. So I was a bit worried. And so I started thinking on how we could, you know, how would we differentiate the conference and do something special, basically. So I thought, you know, we are fortunate to have an amazing island. As you could experience, the weather is great. You know, the views are great. We have a lot of nature around us. It's already a very touristic destination. So I said, let's make it a very positive thing. Let's make it a party, and let's make it a. That's why we schedule a lot of satellite events as well. And in the end, let's make it more like a family vacation for Bitcoiners. You know, bring the wife, bring the kids, bring everyone. You know, enjoy Madeira for a week. And by the way, there's a conference that you can attend. You know, like. And so we did it. And not only that, I'm a father of four kids. And, you know, the other conferences that I went to never had anything for them. It was basically 95% guys. And I saw some kids there, but they had nothing to do. They were with their usually headphones just, you know, laying in a corner. So I had the kids block was actually an idea from the start. And one of the best, because as Avi was saying, it was really, really special, way more special than I anticipated. And not only that, it allowed a more diverse crowd to come, and it changed the whole energy of the stadium, not only the kids area. Because having the women, having the kids, I think it changed. It was a lot influential on the moods of the whole venue, not only the kids area. And yeah, it worked out like a charm.
And it's also an ode to the age of Bitcoin, the culture, the community, getting older, where we're raising these children that only know what a Bitcoin standard may be, or, you know, it's we're seeing the first generation that was born after Bitcoin exactly. was created. So it's just it was a very neat time to do it, I think.
Yeah, it worked really well. As I said, way better than I anticipated. Everybody loved it, even people who didn't bring their kids and family, because as I told you, it changed the energy, it changed the vibe of the place. And as Avi was saying, there were a lot of really good conversations on that stage. it was really, really interesting.
So what can we expect then, Andre, from given that certainly my wildest expectations were exceeded in Bitcoin Atlantis 2024, what can we possibly expect in 2028?
Well, I have some ideas in my head, but and I already started researching them 4 years before, but I don't want to go a lot about it, because I don't want to, it's like the first one. I don't want to announce it before I have, you know, a proper, let's say, a go-to or a green check that everything will happen as planned, because I don't want to make promises that I can't deliver. I hate that. What I can say is that the idea to make it every 4 years I still think it was a great idea. I want to keep it special. I don't want to wear it out. You know, I believe if we did it every year, it would wear out real soon, the novelty. But one of the big reasons as well was Free Madeira, because when we decided to do the conference, when it started to get so big and so forth, everything else at Free Madeira basically stopped, because we were so focused on the conference. And I don't want to do that as well. So I want to keep building in Free Madeira. We have a lot of plans for Free Madeira. And that's why, you know, in the last day of the conference, a lot of people approached me, you know, when are you going to announce? When are you going to announce? And then still when I was making the closing remarks, people were saying, oh, when next year, we're going to come back next year. I still remember Daniel Prince asking the crowds if they would come back next year. Everybody put their hands in the air. But I knew, and I didn't decide that by then, but I knew that I didn't want to promise what was still undecided. And I didn't. And 3 weeks or 1 month after, I had this idea to do it every 4 years. I think it's perfect. I think it goes very well with Bitcoin as well. You know, we have the halving years, the pumps, and then we have bear markets to build. So it's the same spirit. We'll keep building Frimadara. We'll keep doing our journey. And every 4 years, we'll try to make something special again for Bitcoiners to visit us. And we have an amazing party in Madara.
Well, I'm looking forward to that because my son will be 5 years old, four or five at the time. So maybe I can actually function on a trip with them and he can enjoy himself with other kids.
Yes. Perfect.
So you started, you joined Noster. It looks like in the Jack Hatchening, the Jackening range, December 18th of 2022. I was the 19th. I think Gabi was like the 16th. So you kind of came in that swarm of cyber hornets. How did you find Noster?
Well, that's easy. Gigi was already living here, so it was and we started when was that?
22? Oh, that was December 18th of 2022. So it was right before
then it's way earlier than I don't even remember.
Yeah. Well, it says the account was created then. Noster.band doesn't lie.
Really? Well, I don't know. Bitcoin Twitter, I guess.
That was right after Jack announced the funding to Fiat Joff, and everyone was like, what the hell is this decentralized protocol that Jack just threw a bunch of Bitcoin at? And of course the medium of exchange was Bitcoin, so it certainly conflated to everybody on Bitcoin Twitter, let's try this out, right?
Yeah, I guess. I don't even remember. I'm still not a big user, I have to admit. Sometimes I forget. We are using more and more now with Frimadara to communicate and try to get more out there. Also, one of the projects that started here in Madara because of all this Frimadara movement was SEC, Sovereign Engineering. Mm-hmm. And it's a lot focused on Noster and other protocols, but a lot on Noster as well. So, and we'll keep doing it. Actually, we have some ideas also to do, because Bitcoin Atlantis, the big one, is happening in 28. But in the meantime, it doesn't mean we can't do smaller things and more focused things. And we have some ideas and some news for soon, I hope. And we'll keep doing some smaller events and summits and so forth. And of course, some of them at least will be focused on Noster.
I didn't realize, Andre, that you were involved with the Sovereign Engineering cohort. So did I hear you say Frimadara was one of the founding or founded that?
Well, me personally, I'm one of the partners. Okay. I'm one of the partners with Gigi, Pablo Fernandez, and Martin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we did a show with them during the we did a Sovereign Engineering cohort update. We talked with them. We had Zach, Pablo, who else was on there?
I'm not the technical guy, as you can see.
Well, that's why you got Pablo standing next to you.
Yeah, Pablo and Gigi, they take care of all the talks and the technical stuff and all that thing. Me and Martin are more like, Martin is the barbecue guy. Because software engineering is a lot about conversations and brainstorming and walks and trips and so forth. To keep the light sparks going on. The third one is actually starting in less than a month. It's going to start on the 14th of October. And it's going to be good. We're going to have a lot of cool people here.
Is that still over 21 dev, 30 no, days?
It's going to be more, actually. We're going to have over 40 people for the first 2 weeks at least.
Wow.
And at least half of them will stay for the whole thing, which is 2 months.
Hear that, Abby? We got to set a show up for the second edition.
It's the third one.
Oh, the third edition. Wow.
Yes.
So you're just kind of, you're not really a heavy user in Noster, but you have obviously some keen minds around you, some purple-headed Nostriches. How has Noster kind of been a service to Madeira? And with that said, maybe not currently, but maybe something in the future that you guys are looking at?
Well, we're going to keep developing software engineering for sure. It's still an ongoing test, and we may pivot and change stuff, and but it's again very focused on Ostra. So that's a big project in my view, and it's going to keep evolving. And Freemadata, as I told you, will have some plans as well for some dedicated Nostra summits and stuff like that. And the purple community is also growing especially because of software engineering. And some Nostra has already moved to Madata, which is great. And again, like the other thing, it's going to keep evolving for sure.
Yeah, can't wait to see what comes out of that. Out of just all the Nostra and Bitcoin things happening in Madeira, the sovereign engineering cohort, Free Madeira, and so on. Well, Andre,
see like Nathan Day taking BTC map, going Nostra native, where a lot of these shops become integrated into the Nostra system, right?
Yeah, they give the shops some NPubs and... Just start zapping them.
Well, more advertising though, more integration with the Nostra community who are already Bitcoin native.
Yeah, I can certainly see that. So Andre, we had dinner a few times when we were hanging out in BTC Prague, and when I was having dinner with Andre, one of the questions I asked him is. This is my, or one of the things I said to him is, this is my dinner with Andre. And it's the name of a movie, which Andre, you hadn't heard of, right? But it's,
no, there, never before.
Yeah.
Me so, either.
So I suggested Andre watch it, not just because he shares a name with the main character, but because it's a good movie. So what were your thoughts on that movie, Andre?
Oh man, I loved it because I was so curious when you mentioned it, and I was even more curious because you mentioned I went online to check what movie was it, you know, and when I saw the title, because André was exactly how you spell it in Portuguese, which was weird for an American movie, right? Because André with the dash on the E, exactly like a Portuguese name. So it was weird, and it got me curious, right? This was in Prague, right? And I found it, and I watched the movie still on the flight back home after we had dinner. And yeah, the movie was I don't even know how to describe it. It's really, really interesting, and I just everybody should watch it. It's just a conversation. It is literally a conversation.
Were you Wally in this one, Avi? I just looked up the show. Were you Wally?
Well, if Andre is Andre, then I guess I'm Wally.
I just Google searched and Wally's looking a little suspect.
Yeah. But it's basically a conversation, could be a podcast. And you know, after I watched the movie, I actually even researched the story of the movie. And in itself, it's really, really interesting because it's real life. The guy decided to do the movie exactly as the dinners he had with Andre because the conversations were so interesting. So it's exactly what happened. It was just a way to put those private conversations out there because Andre was such an interesting character, I guess. And I remember Avi saying, you know, this was a Bitcoiner movie way before Bitcoin existed. And it is. It is, in fact, a Bitcoin. Andre was a Bitcoiner in 1981. Yeah. I was born in 80, so. Oh. I guess they were already shooting the movie when I was getting out there, and it is. I can't explain a lot more. Like the conversation is really, really interesting, and take the patience to go to the first. You know, few minutes or maybe a half an hour, because at the beginning it's very, you don't really understand where it's going, I guess. But then when it starts flowing, you'll get the most interesting you know, little bit pieces of conversation that are really, really amazing.
So is this accurate? Avi invited you to dinner. He created a reservation at a very maybe expensive steakhouse, ordered wine, then used his credit card and asked you for sats at the end.
I don't remember. This was it. I don't remember. Did it happen? Were you buying non-KYC from myself?
It's a running
joke.
That's
the move.
Dinner with Avi. I get the sats ready.
Actually, I have to tell you, here in Madeira, with the community so big, I just had lunch with three Bitcoiners today. One of them is visiting from Canada. It was a friend of Ben Perrin. He approached and we had this very good lunch outside. And it's one of the ways, one of my favorite ways to get sats, honestly. So I always offer to pay in fiat when we are a bunch of Bitcoiners.
That I mean, it is. It's the secret's out. It is a way. Just don't take them to restaurants that accept Bitcoin, and you got it.
Yeah.
So, Andre, what else are you working on?
Well, Free Madeira takes a lot of my time, as I told you. We recently started the in-person workshops, the education part. It was really good. We even had a surprise visit from the public TV station. They did a report and put it out there on the nightly news. We have some projects, some energy projects. So I'm trying to pitch Bitcoin mining to renewable providers in the island. It's very hard, but we're always trying to get there. So finally, one of those doors opened, and I think we have a shot at having the first integrated solar project with mining. We are ongoing with all the partnerships, the education partnerships as well, with the with the Mi Primer Bitcoin. We're just finishing translating the book, and we're gonna put it as an ancillary course on all the students of Madeira how do I put it in English? It's not of course on the on the curriculum, the official curriculum, but you can have it as an outside course on all the tablets of the Madeira students. That's one of the big projects. But for me, my dearest project right now is the Bitcoin Business Hub. So I'm negotiating a building downtown right now. Hopefully, finally, we'll get this one. Where I want to put all the projects there, not only the headquarters of Free Madeira, we'll have a co-working space just for Bitcoin companies. We're going to have a podcast room. We're going to have the Sovereign Engineering project there. We're going to have a store and a bar. And, you can say it's more or less like a Bitcoin park built our own way and for Madeira. And, it's one of my focus right now.
Brick by brick. I mean, every one of those projects you mentioned all in one building, that's exactly the citadel that everyone dreams about.
I think the physical space may be, the project is already going very well. I can't complain. Like, we did a lot in 2 years, but I think the physical space will make a very big difference. And I have great plans for it. Let's hope I can do it.
Amazing. Well, I can't wait for my next visit to Madeira, and I don't think I'm going to wait as long as 2028. Maybe when you have the inauguration for this space, Andre, I'll try and come down.
Well, I didn't think about that. Actually, we should do something special for the inauguration.
Yeah,
I'd like to visit too, Avi. It's I can actually convince my wife to go there. and you nailed it too, because if you plan a family event, you plan it where it's a vacation spot like a Madeira. It's much more compelling for a family to vacation and then do the Bitcoin conference as well.
Yes. it made a huge difference, and we'll keep being family friendly for sure in everything we do.
All right.
Anything you want to plug, Andre, before we wrap up here? Where can we find you? Find the work Free Madeira is doing.
You find him on X.
Well, we have we are actually redesigning our website from scratch. That's another of the projects, because we plan to integrate a lot more on the website. The current one was just a temporary one. But you can find us at freemadeira.org. And bitcoinatlantis.com is still online, of course, with the recap of the conference and all the videos and everything else. And we'll pump it back on when the time is right. We are Free Madeira and on all the socials, including Nostra, of course. So you can find us there, and we'll keep pumping the news there. And for those who are interested in knowing more, you can also find us at the public Telegram group, where a lot of news are pumped. And and we'll be out there either with Free Madeira and Monstera books that we already pushing back on in a big way right now. So translating a lot more books into Portuguese, like Broken Money and The Sovereign Individual and so on, that will be launched soon. Starting Monstera Books Brazil. We are finally launching all the books in Brazil as well. And myself, I'll be out there on all the, some of the conferences. Still this year, I'm going to Nashville in 2 weeks. And for the HRF summit, and I'll be in SatsConf in São Paulo, and then in Adopting Bitcoin in El Salvador, and probably going to Lugano as well. So I'll be out there.
Well, I'm jealous, Andre, because I don't know if I'm fully jealous, because I had to take a break from conferences. After I can't even remember what the last one was, but I am getting a little bit of FOMO hearing what your plans.
It can be a bit exhausting sometimes, but you know, it's part of the drill right now. I have to, you know, we have a lot of plans for Primadera, so you know, I want to be out there at least for a while.
Yeah, all right, Andre, I think,
yeah. Very much appreciate it. It was nice meeting you, meeting your voice, and getting to know you. I will put those links in the show note, Free Madeira, Bitcoin Atlantis, and I'll find that public Telegram to put in the show notes too.
Thanks.
Yeah, appreciate you taking the time.
It was a pleasure, and I guess I'll see you soon.
And yeah, anybody listening, please listen on Fountain, support value for value. Boostagram, Zap, comment. We'd love to hear from you. Share via Nostra Native Fountain now. Thank you very much, and we'll see you next week.
Goodbye.